WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today we're going to talk about adoption, specifically the adoption of children and being adopted into a family. I don't have first-hand knowledge of either of these, and so I've invited some who do. I'm sitting here around the table, a group of us are, in the home of the Slewinskis, and we have a WSSR tape recorder going. And with me are Jan and Bill Slewinski, parents, and Lori and Robbie Slewinski, daughter and son. Lori, will you tell us your age and your school?
I'm 9 years old, I'm 10, and I go to Calvary Academy.
You just had a birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Rob?
Well, I'm 12 years old, and I go to Calvary Academy.
You just had a birthday, too, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have Mimi Baldwin, who's a parent, and Cammy Baldwin, her daughter. Cammy, how about telling us your age in school?
I'm 14 years old, and I go to Sacred Heart Academy.
Now, Lori and Robbie and Cammy are all adopted kids, and in case any of you listeners have any doubts about what adoption is, here's the definition right out of Webster's Dictionary. To take by free choice into a close relationship previously not existing, especially by a formal legal act, specifically to take voluntarily a child of other parents to be in the place of or as one's own child. Well, what I'd like to do is start with the parents. Jan and Bill, how about your telling us why you decided to voluntarily take Rob and Lori into your family and how you went about it?
Well,
go ahead, Jan.
First of all, we'd been married about 5 years and we hadn't had any children, and we found out that because of medical reasons it would be better if we didn't. And we didn't want to go through life without children. That feeling of fulfillment there.
Yes, I know how that is.
So we put in for adoption, and we were lucky enough that within a few months, Robbie was given to us. And then a year later, on the day that we went to court with Robbie, we knew we wanted more, so we called the agency and put in for another one, and luckily a year later, then we got Lori.
So when you say you went to court, that means when the adoption becomes legal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you have the baby for a year, or the child at whatever age, and then is that about it?
Yes, we have them for a year, which is, I guess, almost like a probation type period, and you're visited by the social worker mm-hmm. to make sure that you're doing everything, and you're visited ahead of time to make sure that you actually have a separate room for this baby and that you're able to provide for them.
Mimi, how about telling us about your family situation?
Well, with us, it wasn't a problem of having babies because we already had four when we decided we wanted to adopt. The reason for us wanting to adopt was because we had four boys. And it looked as if any more children we had would be boys. And I felt that families should have both sexes because I grew up with two brothers and a sister, and I just felt that it would really be nice for the boys to have a sister.
So rather than take a chance on another boy, and statistically, the more you have of one sex, the more you keep on having.
That was my understanding. Yeah. And I didn't want to have a basketball team or a hockey team or a baseball team. And so we put in to a local agency for adoption. And at that time, they were just changing the rules. Up until then, a family that had four healthy children was not eligible to be considered for being given another child. But at the time that we adopted Cammy, there were more babies than they could place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were making their rules more lenient, and they said, sure, we can consider you. And so I said, well, I really don't want another baby until my littlest one is 3 years old. Scott was 3 years old on the 1st of July, and Cammy was born on the 4th of July, and we got her 12 days later, so it was it was a very exciting thing for us to have a little girl in the family.
Well, now let's go on to you kids. And my first question to you is, at what age did you learn that you were adopted, and how did you learn it? Why don't we start with Lori?
I really don't remember.
You just always knew?
Mm-hmm.
So that it never came as a surprise to you. How about you, Rob?
Well, I think I learned when I was about 5 or 6.
You hadn't known before then?
Yeah, I didn't know that there was such a thing as adoption because I was too small.
So the real understanding, you mean, mm-hmm. came when you were 5 or 6?
Yeah, I imagine that's the case with Lori, too. There came a point when she realized that adoption was something
different.
Yeah. How about you, Cammy?
I can't ever remember not knowing. I've just always known.
I have a student in my current writing class, and she wrote a story about her father. And she said how when she was little, he would toss her up in the air and say something about my little adopted daughter. And so that she just knew it right from the very start as something very special. Well, let's go then from when you just always knew it to when you realized it. Rob, when you realized it, then what did you think?
I thought, well, first I asked my mom and dad about my real parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me the case, and I felt lucky.
That they would have had a hard time taking care of you?
Yeah.
Now, your mom told me before when we first talked about having you on the program that you had been having some worries about your parents. Do you want to, your natural parents, let's call them. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, I don't seem to have any worries anymore, and there's nothing to fear now.
Did you want to tell them how at one point you were worried about whether or not where they were or whether they were healthy or well, and you wanted to save your money and in case they needed help, and we had to decide as a whole family how we would handle that situation, whether or not we would take in these natural parents into our home and take care of them if they needed this help. And this was a family decision, and there was a lot of talking, a lot of deciding had to be made. And I think because we all decided if this was the case and if that was the way it worked out, we're all human beings, we're all people, and if they needed help, we would help them.
And that helped your fears then?
Yeah.
Robbie? Mm-hmm. How about you, Lori, when you realized what it meant to be adopted?
Well, really, I just... I don't even remember realizing it. I was probably about 4 or 5. And
it was just so natural that mm-hmm. it never, and you never had any hard times with it. Mm-hmm. Kids didn't tease you or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Cammy? Do you recall a moment of realization?
No. I've asked about my natural mother, and every time I ask Mom or we say talk about it or something, sometimes she'll say she was 18, and next time we'll talk about it, she was 20, and next time she was 17.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much do the adoption agencies tell you about the natural parents? Do you really have anything much to pass on to the children?
I had a few things, and Cammy left out the age that I think the mother was, which is 19. You see, my memory does play tricks with me. The information I got was that she was a talented pianist, that she had not gone on with her education, and that the father involved was also interviewed by the social agency, which they felt didn't happen too often. And they were very pleased that Cammy's father was involved in this decision of the mother's to give Cammy up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
I even got a piano in the house thinking Cammy might take off with great musical talent, but that didn't prove to be so. But, you know, I figured if so often a tendency like that seems to carry through in a natural bloodline, and I wanted to give Cammy the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to be whatever she could be.
Were you Slawinski's given any details as to the kids' genetic backgrounds or this sort of thing? I know they don't tell you the names of the parents, but did they give you any sort of other background, Phil, do you remember?
Well, I'm not going to be much help because my personal interest in those sorts of things is such that they were no longer important to me. I had the kids, and as far as I was concerned, they were mine, and so I basically forgot everything they might have told us. My wife is the one with the memory like a steel trap, so maybe she would be a better one to answer that. But I will say that because of the way I feel, I do tend to forget that sort of thing because it's no longer important to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that it has any bearing on our life anymore, so I do just sort of put it out of my mind.
Let's jump back a minute and just say that all three of you kids were told when you were so little that you can't even remember being told. So that your parents must have had a philosophy about that. I do know of some parents that haven't told their children until they're 12 or 14. And I take it that you three parents, and Jack Baldwin isn't here, but I would gather that he agreed with you,
right.
Mimi,
yeah.
That you felt it was best that they grew up always knowing.
Yes, I was afraid that if we waited until they were 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 and told them, that they would no longer have any trust in us and wonder if we had lied to them about other things. Because obviously there's situations that come up that how do you answer? You know, they want to know what hospital you were in or what, you know, what they said or what they did, or, you know, why don't you have pictures of the very first day when I was born in the hospital? And you'd have to lie about all those things.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to start a relationship out that way.
Well, I suppose all three of you kids have wondered at some time or other why your natural parents had to give you up. Have you ever thought about that, Lori?
Mm-hmm.
And Cammie?
Yeah.
What sort of thoughts have you had, and have you asked your parents, or?
Yeah, that seemed like every time Mom tells me a different story. Not that she's lying or anything, it's just like she forgets if she was 18 or 19 or 17 or whatever.
Well, I know when I was little there were certain things that weren't talked about, and one of the things that wasn't talked about was having babies out of wedlock, young girls having babies. And so I thought that all children that were adopted were orphans, that their parents were dead. And it was only until I was much older when I realized that most of the babies are ones where young people have them and have no way of taking care of them.
Well, Robbie and Lori, their biological parents were both in college,
mm-hmm.
and had like a year or two left, or a little more than a year left of college, and had decided that they could not bring them up the way they thought they should be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And that disturbed them. And so they gave them up for adoption, thinking that they would be much better off.
And of course, that situation fits with Cammie's natural mother, who was 18 or 19.
Or 17.
Or 17. And really, when she found she was pregnant, and she and the father talked it over, they both decided they were not ready for marriage. And they felt that in fairness to Cammie, that she should go to a home that was stable and that could raise her in a family atmosphere. So I feel that was a heroic decision on their part.
Kids, have you ever had any special thoughts about being adopted? Any special good thoughts, or any special bad thoughts, or any just special different thoughts?
I've had some thoughts that my adoption turned out to be the better instead of the worse, and that if I hadn't have been adopted, I might have been real poor.
Have you ever felt any different from your friends? You got something boiling over there on the stove?
Nope.
Our tea is finally brewed.
Uh-huh. It's never made you feel uncertain, any of you kids?
Mm-mm. Not really. Lord. Sometimes I get
remember that
mad at my brothers.
Megan.
And I just say, well, you're not my real brother.
Want to tell that story that I heard when you got about out in Colorado when you got mad?
Well, we're in Colorado at Christmas time, and I got in one of my fights with my brother.
And they're typical brothers and sisters, I might add.
And I just said, well, you're not my real brother, and you can't boss me around, and I don't have to listen to you.
And then, you only treat me that way because I'm not your real sister?
Well, not
or you're
not
putting
really.
All the blame on the other side.
But I'm just, I don't know, and then we made up like we always do. Then we were eating dinner, and he was saying that I may not be his blood sister, but I am his real sister. And even though I'm not his blood sister, he loves me just as much.
And I was moved when I heard that story. He said it went for the whole family. And he said that it hurt him when you said what you said about not being a real sister.
He says it hurts him a lot when I say that.
There's a whole controversy going on now about the right of children to know who their parents were. And I was wondering what these two families thought about that, or you kids.
Well, I've always wanted to meet my mother. But then sometimes when I think about it, I kind of don't want to, because like on some of the TV shows, some kid will be adopted or something, and then they go to seek out their mother, and the mother decides they want their child back. And it kind of gives me a fear that if they went to court about it, if I met my real mother, that she might get me back or something.
So there's a kind of a fear that
that
comes. We had another fear that we mentioned just before we began recording, that you had Cammie. Was that the divorce fear?
Oh.
Tell about that, too.
Well, I was just wondering one day that if Mom and Dad got a divorce, if I would be just like one of my brothers or sisters, or if there was some way that the courts could take me away and put me into a family.
Sort of put you up for adoption again because you weren't a natural child.
Well, and it's like before you can adopt children, they have to come and see if your family is stable, and they have to check out your house and make sure it's childproof and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking that they probably wouldn't like too much for a divorced parent to adopt a child. So what would happen if the parents got divorced who had already adopted?
How old were you when you had those thoughts? Do you remember?
That was just a couple months ago.
Recent? Oh, okay. Because I don't remember you discussing that.
Remember
much.
When Jackie was over?
Oh, that's right. It got us talking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, would you want to share your thoughts about not too long ago, you said you wanted to adopt children when you grew up, and why?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I just don't know.
But that was a possibility for you?
He said that when he was older, he wanted to adopt children. Because he knew what it felt like, and he thought he could share it with them, and he'd understand how they felt.
Rob, I'm glad your mother said that. I think that's a very thoughtful and sensitive thing, and I think maybe that's why Rob was a little embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. Well, our time is coming to an end, and this program, I keep forgetting this is a writing program, and so you're going to need to write something. Those of you kids that are listening that are divorced, there we're talking about that too, are adopted, you'll have something to say about that, or you may have adopted friends. But you know, there's other kinds of adoption too that you can write about. You know, we adopt our animals, our dogs and our cats, and in the paper this week I saw adopt a pothole. If everybody adopted a pothole and paid $2, well, maybe we could fix our roads. And an even more interesting adoption is what some of the zoos are doing now. You can adopt a tarantula, or you can adopt an elephant. Not that anybody can pay for a whole elephant, but you can contribute a little towards paying for an elephant. For $10, I think, you can adopt a tarantula for a whole year and actually go and see it and say, that's my tarantula, down at the St. Louis Zoo. And then I understand that you Slewinskis have a foster child as well as two adopted children. You want to say something about that, Bill?
Well, that's my wife's, the word I want to use, pleasure in life, I think, to to correspond with Ashanta and to
Where is her home?
In Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
And she sometimes thinks that I'm not involved in it, but I am in a way that she probably doesn't even realize, so I think that probably she should talk about that.
Oh, we have a foster child, and we've had her for about 3 years, and her name is Ashanta. She lives in Bangladesh, and Robbie and Lori talk of her, our sister,
mm-hmm.
you know, across the seas, and we communicate with her by letter, and we send, there's a large problem with theft, with gifts and everything, so we usually send money, and they usually write back and tell us. We have sent her, we sent her a rag doll a couple of Christmases ago, and she was thrilled with that. She hadn't seen anything like that.
So you see, there's all sorts of ways of adopting, and I encourage you to write about whatever aspect that you would like to. And I want to thank very much Lori and Robbie and Bill and Jan Slawinski and Mimi and Cammie Baldwin, and we could really go on for a long time. But our time is up. Thank you.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.